Well, let's turn back to Matthew now for a second element. Matthew 20 and verses 26 and 28. Gospel of Matthew, beginning of the New Testament, chapter 20 and verse 26. Because secondly, a husband who is energized by grace will lead humbly because serving is his plan. Now, transparency is what his goal is, but serving his wife becomes his plan. Now, look what Jesus said, starting in verse 26 of chapter 20. Jesus said, this shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, here it is, let him be your servant. And then verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, here it is, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. A godly husband leads humbly because serving is his plan. He wants to be his wife's and family's best servant. A servant has a master. And since Christ is our master, we as husbands lead our wives even as Christ leads his church. That's way back last week, Ephesians 5:23. Jesus is leading by serving his church, and so we lead the same. Fruitful and satisfying marriages start with the attitude of Jesus. Paul explained that Christ's motivating heart of servant ministry flowed from an attitude of joyful submission. That's what we read in Philippians 2. Jesus joyfully took upon himself the attitude of a servant. He laid aside the rights that he had. Theologically, we say he laid aside the divine prerogatives he had to order everybody around because he was God. He laid that aside. He humbled himself. So we lay aside our prerogatives to be cavemen, to be in charge of everything and telling everybody what to do. We lay it aside to be a humble servant. We embrace the humility of Christ. We stop being absorbed by self. We scrape off that old self and we begin thinking of others in the process of sanctification. When Jesus called the 12 disciples, Jesus distilled his plan down to one word. It says he ordained 12, Mark 3:14, that he should be with them. Jesus' whole discipleship plan was one word, with. In fact, that's a great parenting plan. Be with the ones you're parenting. It's a great marriage plan. Be with the one you want to be married to and grow with. It's how you disciple. You spend time with them. And that's what Jesus did. He was there with them. We need to spend personal, face-to-face, heart-to-heart time with those we are nurturing. Jesus was there with his disciples when they needed him. We should follow his example. And we as servant leaders need to lead in person, not from afar, not by extension, but in the presence of those we serve. If you read the Gospels closely, you'll see how clearly Christ's words communicated exactly what his disciples needed. He anticipated their fears. He expected their questions. He guided their growth. And just like Jesus, we should long to create understanding in those that we're leading by being with them. And husbands, we should decide right now that serving will become our plan and that we're going to become the dearest friend serving our wife here on earth, because Jesus said, I want to be with you to serve you, disciples. And then Jesus, when he ascended, said through Paul, husbands, if you want to lead like me, then lead like I led. And I led by being with them. And I directly, personally served them. And we should decide the same for us. Right at the end of verse 28, it says and emphasizes to serve and to give. You notice how Jesus served? It says that he gave. Now, it says he gave his life to be a ransom for many, but that we call his sacrifice. And the third element of a humble leading husband is that he leads humbly because sacrifice is his method. Serving is not only his plan, but the method he carries out, the plan of serving, is by sacrifice. Now, I want you to think about that. A husband who leads with humility will love his wife by sacrificing to meet her needs. Jesus told us that because God loved, he gave. See, love causes us to sacrifice and to give something. And that gift was the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. So husbands are to have that type of sacrificial love as their way of life with their own wives. Now, sociologists, you know, there are people who spend their life observing humans. And they're paid to write down their observations. Psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists, all of them are in the behavioral sciences and they observe things. Now sometimes, you know, we don't take advantage of the wonderful observations that they've made. For example, this Jewish couple, the Rosebergs, wrote this. They interviewed hundreds of couples. Now, this is across the board. This isn't just Christians. This is across the board people. And what they came up with is amazing. They said that the top five needs of a woman who is married is unconditional love and acceptance. Wow. Sounds like it's right out of the Bible. Doesn't it? That's the kind of love that God gives us. It's unconditional love that has acceptance. Number two, the Rosebergs says that women need emotional intimacy and communication. Then she needs intimacy that is for her alone, which they didn't define. And number four, they said she needs encouragement and affirmation. And number five, they said that all these hundreds of women they interviewed needed companionship. Well, after looking at that list, I thought, wow, the Rosebergs make a valid point. Human nature is strange. Something in us assumes if we treat our spouse the way we would like them to treat us, that we're meeting their needs. Kind of like the golden rule, you know, treat me the way I treat you. But what it is it's not quite that way when you're dealing with men and women. Because women are different than men. And men must learn. Because as husbands, our needs are different than our wives. That's why our method must be sacrifice. We have to learn to love our wife the way she can feel, the way she can know, the way she can experience and receive that love. In reality, God wired men and women differently. This doesn't apply only to sexual needs. For the reason, establishing a routine of intimate dialogue between husbands and wife is essential. To understand, now you know the popular, you know, men, I forget what it is, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. I don't know the title of the book, but what they're saying is it's like we're from different planets, the secular people. Well, God assumes that we understand that. And he says we need to learn something that is special to our wife and sacrificially offer that as a gift to her. Whether accepting her without reservation, as the Rosebergs say, or communicating with her even when we're exhausted, or reading God's word to her instead of watching television or going online, or affirming one thing every day that we noticed that she did. Or maybe just follow her around till she notices we want to spend time with her. Find which of the five she likes and do it. And offer her by sacrifice. See, most wives have conditioned and they know how we operate and they know like this. And so they kind of like are content to have all these concerns and needs and that we might not know about. And we do our thing. And all of a sudden when a husband locks on and says, I'm going to sacrifice for you. And I'm going to observe you until I figure out what it is you want. And I'm going to pursue that. It might take a while for her to respond. But when she does, it's amazing the closeness. Husbands, we should decide right now that sacrifice will become our method, that we're going to become the closest friend on earth to our wife. Because God says, as Christ would stick closer than a brother to us, as he loves us and pursues us, so we should love and pursue one another.